Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Hey, we're back, and we're going to be taking a listen to the Reese report here. There's a lot more going on with this latest hurricane. Well, let's just take it away and see what Reese has to say.
We have had the technology to create, control, and steer hurricanes for decades.
Project Cirrus is the first official attempt to modify a hurricane. It was run by General Electric with the support of the U.S. military. The official theory was that by changing the temperature outside the eyewall of a hurricane, which they did by seeding the clouds with various compounds such as silver iodide, a decrease in strong winds will result. On October 13, 1947, Project Cirrus targeted a hurricane heading out to sea. Approximately 180 pounds of dry ice was dropped into the clouds. The crew then reported a pronounced modification of the cloud deck, and the hurricane abruptly changed direction and made landfall near Savannah, Georgia. The public blamed the government. Irving Langmuir, who pioneered General Electric's Atmospheric Research Department and admitted that the project was about learning how to weaponize the weather, also claimed the reversal of the hurricane had been caused by Project Cirrus. But the government denied it for 12 years. After a short delay, the project officially continued, and in 1965, Project Storm Fury had targeted Hurricane Betsy for seeding. On that day, the storm immediately changed direction and made landfall in southern Florida. Congress blamed it on Project Storm Fury, but the government claimed that the hurricane shifted before they ever had a chance to seed it. And after 2 months of congressional hearings, the project was allowed to continue.
In 1997, U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen admitted we have the technology to control the weather, including earthquakes and volcanoes. The U.S. government has placed gag orders on employees of the National Weather Service. In October of 2012, after Hurricane Sandy weakened to a tropical storm, microwave imagery shows a thick red beam immediately followed by Sandy growing into a Category 1 hurricane and taking an unexplained left turn into New Jersey. The push towards alternative energy demands more lithium, and according to the U.S. Geological Survey, the United States has over 6 million tons of identified lithium resources. The majority of this lithium has been identified in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Kings Mountain is believed to have one of the largest resources in the world, but the biggest problem is that people live there, and they don't want their quiet towns turned into lithium mines.
People in Schererville have been pushing against a proposed lithium mine for the last several years. But everyone we spoke with here said it's too divisive of an issue to share their opinion on camera. Schererville is a small, quiet town.
I think that's good that we keep it small.
So quiet, many don't feel comfortable speaking out against Piedmont Lithium's proposed mining operation nearby.
I think we're a silent majority. I think a lot of people are afraid to say anything about it because they are bringing a lot to the town as far as money.
Last year, the Department of Defense entered a $90 million agreement with Albemarle Corporation to increase domestic production of lithium for the nation's battery supply chain, specifically from Kings Mountain, North Carolina, starting by 2025. This is the same area experiencing what is being described as biblical floods. While the federal government spends billions on foreign wars and illegal immigrants, they simply cannot be bothered with the health and well-being of the American people, especially those living on coveted mineral-rich land. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Alrighty, we're back. You won't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, will you?
No, you won't. You won't hear that. And something else that is probably not going to get around the news, at least it's not on any of the major networks, down in a place in North Carolina called Spruce Pine, not too far from where they were talking in that last article, right?
Yeah.
We have a Wharton School of Business professor who studies artificial intelligence and all this, said the modern economy rests on a single road in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. The road runs to two mines that are the sole supplier of the quartz required to make the crucibles needed to refine silicone wafers. Ethan Mollick noted there are no alternative sources known if supply disruptions were seen in Spruce Pine. Now, what does he mean when he said refined silicone wafers? We have nowadays these in computers, and all these have these little what do they call them? That was a senior moment. Anyway, they're made with these silicone wafers. They're in every cell phone, computer that we have. All those chips, the chips, are made with silicone wafers, and without this special quartz, it's a very special quartz, very soft, very white, almost looks like powdered flour, and it's the world source of it. And this one guy said, he wrote this, there's a train there going through, and he said the floods created this area. There was up to 2 feet of rain. The railroads are out, the roads are out, and it could take months to open everything down there. And as you look through this, it was something I don't think most people knew anything about, why this is so important. It seems like some of those hills are in North Carolina. This Spruce Pine's only about 30 miles from Asheville. And here now the bottleneck, we find out this is the bottleneck for computer chips, solar panels, everything right there, Spruce Pine, North Carolina. This is going to be interesting because this could be one of the biggest problems in our modern country and part of the world for some time if they can't get those mines going, operating, getting the stuff back in supply. It's kind of an interesting dilemma, something I don't think anybody ever thought of. Did you?
No. And, you know, here you have, again, it seems like, you know, I had somebody say to me yesterday, you know, God's judgment's going to come on this country. And I told him, I said, God's judgment is on this country.
Yes. Look
around you. You have 500,000 of our children. Go to Hosea chapter 4 and read verse 6 again. And then right now we have 500,000 children missing in America. You don't get it. God's judgment is here, okay? But it's going to continue. He says, still his arm is stretched out still.
Still.
You have 100,000 people died from fentanyl poisoning, and then 250 died from actually prescription drugs. So you have like almost 400,000 people dying just from pharmakia alone in this country. It's just unbelievable. But people still don't get it. You've got
Hosea 4:9, and it said, "And I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings."
Right, but read verse 6.
Verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
Now let me ask you this, Joe. Who are supposed to be priests today to God? Who are supposed to be a nation of priests?
We are. Christian nation.
So now, are there a whole lot of people in this country that are professing Christians?
Well, they profess with their mouth, but not with their...
The World and National Council of Churches.
Christ, they just profess it.
Okay, the World and National Council of Churches, what kind of percentage do you think of people that are in the World and National Council of Churches are actually Christians?
Probably none. I doubt there's any real born-again believers. They would have left when they found out how corrupt it was, how anti-Christ it is.
I know. And yet, they're supposed to be the priests, and they're not. So God's judgment is here, but his arm is stretched out still. And so we're seeing the destruction of the family. You know, the divorce rate is about the same as the marriage rate today in this country.
Well, look, we're not having children. There, people are not getting married. The young women are not having children. Most of the young women are going liberal. And so we have no families. The birth rate is well below the replacement rate. We've had heat waves in the South. We've had these horrible fires. We've had horrible flooding. Now we're having this hurricane. We have this strike. We have world, you know, in turmoil around the Middle East and war. We have China threatening Taiwan. There was a big article today about they're saying this is the year for reunification. It's been, 75 years and something, and they're laying claim to Taiwan now, making it a very strong claim because they see us weak and occupied with problems in the Middle East. Everywhere you look, the economy is heading for a problem, whether it's a recession or depression, I don't know. But this flood and duck strike is going to bring about a recession to depression. And everywhere you look, things are going bad. The number of jobs created going down. The value of the dollar is going down. We've got all this debt. People are up to their ears in the $1.2 some kind of trillion dollars in credit card debt. They're defaulting on their cars. They're defaulting on home loans. I don't see a great deal of optimism. I see judgment everywhere I look.
Yeah, that's good because that's exactly what out there. The vast majority of people are clueless. They are absolutely, they don't have a clue of what's happening.
Do you think they think that you and I are nuts when we're saying this, that we're under judgment and the judgment might just get worse if we don't pay attention?
Right. The idea, the other thing out there today in the prosperity churches, they're saying just, you know, don't look at that. Forget about all of what is wrong. Just look at what is right. You know, look at, you know, how much money we still have. Okay.
You can lose money pretty quickly. We've seen that over the past, right?
Well, it's like you're saying, you know, your house is on fire. I know, but we're in the living room, and that's in the back bedroom. Yeah, and so that's the mindset that people have. They really don't care. They know that there's things are not right. They know that the country is divided, but the vast majority of them are clueless. They know more about what they hear on NBC, ABC, and CBS, much more there than they do in God's Word, the Bible. And so, there you go.
Along with that, I've got a story.
I guess you're not going to let Style give his...
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yes, we got to do that. Sorry.
His commentary.
Wow. He's ready.
Yeah, hey, Style.
Hey, how's it going, Pastor?
All right.
There's a bunch to dissect here, but there's one story that Tim Walz brought up that really struck me as just a flat-out lie. He brings up the story about Amber Thurman and having to go across state lines because of abortion ban for a life-saving abortion, as he would say, and she ended up dying in the car on the way back because of it. One quick search will prove how false this statement is, and I'm just going to read literally from what the family attorney says. Amber Thurman, 28, had a rare complication from her abortion medication, part one there, important to remember, and went to Paramount Henry Hospital in Stockbridge for a procedure that would remove tissue from the uterus. Doctors waited 20 hours to perform any kind of surgery, and allegedly this led to her death, according to the attorney. So not at all the story that Tim Walz tried to spin today during the debate of, because there is an abortion ban, this young woman died. That's not true. She was taking abortion medication. The medication led to a severe complication and rare disease that ultimately ended up in this. This wouldn't have been the case if she wouldn't have been taking this abortion medication to begin with. These are the kind of, you know, picking out details that obviously aren't being fact-checked on these major debates.
Well, they're not going to be, because you had a bunch of liars there. You had those two women that were, you know, those two, with their lips are moving, they're lying, okay? You know that. And here's what God has said. God has said that if that woman had had an abortion, she deserves to die. God has said that. Read Genesis 9, 5 through 7. And you say, well, I'll go get a different one of the New Age Bibles that says something different. You know, that'll do you a lot of good on Judgment Day. They don't understand. You see, at the end of the day, at the end of your life, it's what God has said that matters. And these people don't get it. Here's what God has said about Tampon Tim Walz. It said that all liars will have their place in a lake of fire. That man is unsaved. That man is wicked. He's cowardly, and he's a liar. Now, that's a reality, and God has said he will have his place in a lake of fire. And people say, well, I'm tired of hearing what God has said. Well, our job is to tell him, isn't it, Joe?
Yes, it is. And they shouldn't mock, you know, when you say God has said, that should be a serious warning, not so, oh, yeah, I've heard that before, here you go again. But, you know, the truth sometimes hurts, right? Often.
Yeah. And so, and by the way, call it a life-saving procedure. What a liar he is. It didn't save the baby's life, did it?
I don't think so. Doesn't seem like it. What is abortion, where two people go in and only one comes out?
Yeah. So, do you have any more commentary, Style?
I'm sure I'll have some as the conversation goes on, but that's the one thing that was really burning me up coming out of it.
Yeah, well, again...
Yeah, I can see why. Huge lie. A lot of us saw that and thought, boy, there's a lie there, but didn't have the time to go check it out.
All right, Joe, it's up to you next to say something of very high significance.
All right, I've got two things. One, this dock strike. What people have to understand, the person behind it, the president of the International Longshoremen's Association, Harold Daggett, he makes $1 million a year salary. He's not a poor person. You said earlier, the ILA, the International Longshoremen's, they make $80,000. Where is it? Right here. And some of them can make in base 81,000 base salary. Some make as much as 200,000 with overtime. Daggett has a 76-foot yacht he got in January 2017. He is known to be driving around in a Bentley car. J.P. Morgan said this strike, he knows the power because J.P. Morgan has talked to him. This strike could cost $4.5 billion per day. $4.5 billion per day, that would really help recover the hurricane. It could go to helping Israel fight a war, and it would devastate the economy, okay? He said, people today just don't know what a good strike is, he said to the union on September 5th. I'll cripple you. I'll cripple you. In other words, he was speaking. He has the power to cripple the United States if they don't listen to him. And he's made headlines before. Our own Department of Justice, which is not a conservative organization, right?
Yeah.
Has called him a mafia associate who ascended the union's internal hierarchy with the help of organized crime. All this was recorded in the New York Times. It's online. The Department of Justice has brought two cases against him for criminality, and he has managed to escape punishment from the DOJ, and he describes himself as a victim of mafia thuggery on the witness stand. which is mobster co-defendant vanished from sight before he could testify against him, and was later discovered in the trunk of a car in New Jersey. Sounds like a TV movie, but the guy, the mafia guy that was going to testify, ended up in a car in the trunk in New Jersey. Now, what does that tell you that's going on in the unions? Corruption, right?
Well,
huge corruption.
That's not anything new.
I know, but people don't, you know, again, the news, this is news that people should have known about the strike. This has been in the news for months before this strike started. And why didn't they tell this part of the story? Because the news didn't want you to know that this union is close ties to the mafia, the leaders in organized crime. They keep this stuff from people. All right, that's one. And the other big news that nobody's talking about is, where is FEMA? There are stories out there. There's a group of people that are getting together a mule pack from a ranch, joining with the Cajun Navy, taking supplies places that nobody can get to by mule trains. They've loaded up huge trains of mules. They're taking them into the hills there in North Carolina. There are stories about all these private organizations that are bringing in airplanes, helicopters. They're coming in, bringing in aid from all kinds of private organizations. It would take me 20 minutes to do all the stories of all the people that are helping, that are out there rescuing people. Where's FEMA?
Well, Joe, let me ask you a question.
Let me just get one big point. All Biden would have to do is call up the National Guard. They have helicopter units all over the country. The Army has helicopter units there in Alabama, different places. Fort Rucker, Alabama, huge, all those big Army Chinooks, helicopters and things that could be flying in rescue missions, bringing in water, bringing in food, bringing in medicine. None of this is happening because Biden is just sitting there doing nothing. Kamala is busy out California.
Joey. You have to understand, Joey, if you look up where Asheville is a red area. It went all for Trump. Asheville went all for Trump.
That whole area, right.
Right. So,
but how about the rest of the other states? There, other states are involved. Florida, all this is going on, but...
Oh, in Florida,
some of it is just they don't care. I think Biden's not with it enough, and the Biden administration is focused on what? Getting Kamala elected, and I don't think they thought this through. They weren't prepared, and we did remember the other night, what was it that the... DEI was the most important thing there for FEMA.
Yeah.
Having diversity, equity, and inclusion in all the people working, that was the number one thing.
Well, Joe, you got to understand something. They can't be spending all that money on the hurricane victims. You know, you have 50 million illegal aliens that have to be taken care of first. And so that's where all that money is
going to. Future voters, you mean. The future Democrat voters.
Yep.
We should call them what they are. They're illegal aliens, but they are future Democrat voters. They have to be bought and paid for, right?
Right. Out of that bunch, you have 13,000 known convicted murderers that were emptied out of jail, convicted murderers, and sent
13,099
here.
13,099 to be exact, but who's counting the number of murders, right?
You have 14,000 convicted rapists that were sent out of jail, sent here. And you have altogether a half a million convicted criminals that Obama and Kamala brought into this country. They brought these people in, and they're preying upon they're raping their young women, they're killing people, they're stealing, and again... And that's where so much of the money, they even took money away from the Veterans Association to give to the illegals.
I guess I'm just kind of full of a little thing called righteous anger. I'm seeing we had, I'm a ex-Army helicopter pilot, warrant officer, and Fort Rucker, Alabama, close by, was at the time the busiest airport in the world during when they were training pilots there. And I know what the Army's capable of. Within just hours, they could mobilize aircraft and helicopters all over. And if anybody in charge of FEMA had any brains at all, any intelligence, they could go where the government's got warehouses where we have supplies. They could fly in these helicopters, load them, have them down within, 12 hours of when the storm hit. And yet nothing has been done so far. People are still missing, trapped, could be still alive. There's still search and rescue going on. And the response from our government is criminal. And it shows the
There's a good reason for that, Joe.
The hatred of our government.
There's a good reason why the response from the government is criminal. You've got criminals in charge, and I mean really
exactly.
In charge.
Because they are criminals, right?
Absolutely. From the White House down, we have the most corrupt White House. We have the most corrupt so-called Justice Department. It is completely corrupted, completely corrupted. The FBI, where they're, even Trump says he has no doubts that they were involved in his assassination attempts. Going after...
I believe that, too. So we need to make sure the truth gets out there, that these people do not get elected to office. If Kamala gets elected, I totally fear for my country, for my children, grandchildren, what kind of horrible disaster this country's going to be in, because then God's judgment is only going to get worse until we turn from our wicked ways, and I'm afraid we're nowhere near turning yet.
Here's what the chatter is, Joe. The chatter is that there could possibly be a major grid failure in the month of October. This is what's going around. We haven't been able to verify that, but this is what that they expect. Now, even Hillary has been making her rounds saying, you're going to have a major October surprise.
Surprise, yeah. Well, Arin, we did, I don't know if we got it on the air. Sometimes we do so many stories in preparation, we don't always get everything on the show. Arin has been working on an EMP pulse weapon with the aid of either China or Iran, I can't remember which. One of them was helping them work on this. If you went around and had a small EMP weapon and hit some of these power plants, knocked them out with an EMP or certain places in cities at strategic locations, this grid could fall apart pretty easily because we never bothered to harden our grid. We were talking about this way back in, the 90s. We're talking about our grid was not hardened. They were working on EMP weapons, 20, 25 years ago. And we were talking about our grid was in danger, it's old, it hasn't been rebuilt, and it wasn't hardened for this kind of electromagnetic pulse attack or giant solar flare, and it's never been done. So we are totally vulnerable there, aren't we?
Yep, we are, and we're up against a break, so we'll be back right after this.
Welcome to God's world. Start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until
Thank you. be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
You are why he died.
Why did he die?
He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
It was for you and I that he was crucified.
Alrighty, we are back. You know, Joe, in style, when Kamala, when she went to her border for her little boarding thing Friday, she made her photo op down there.
Right. Well, they cleaned it up. There were no illegals in sight, right?
Right. Well, she happened to be wearing her $62,000 Tiffany necklace during the border visit.
Oh.
So that... Yeah, it probably makes all them people who on the border who fell victims to the illegal aliens who have their homes broken into and their daughters raped, and probably knowing that she had her $62,000 necklace on when she visited the border.
Yeah, all those cities that have gone broke and their hospitals that are in debt because of handling, dealing with a crisis that they could not, you know, did not have the resources to handle, yeah. I'm sure that necklace alone would take care of a lot of certain people's problems. But,
yeah.
Must make them feel good.
So, anyhow, let me, we had mentioned that lawmakers prepare for mass casualties. According to the Constitution, any emergency vacancies in the House must be filled through elections, unlike Senate vacancies, which can be filled by appointment. However, following the events of 9/11, a law was enacted to enable rapid elections if over 100 House seats are vacant, supposedly to keep the government running as smoothly as possible by expediting the process. But now, the shadow of a political violence looming large, lawmakers are opportunistically looking to pushing for a system where governors can swiftly appoint new members of Congress, fundamentally circumventing the people's right to directly elect. One of the things here in Ohio, they're trying to push, Joe, issue one, and Eric Holder is behind this. Eric Holder is behind this, and issue one, again, it's gerrymandering. It's trying to set it up to where giving the Democratic Communist Party a major advantage over the American people coming elections. And so... And that's what happened. Folks, vote no. Tell everybody you know out there, listen to me, in Ohio, you in Ohio, no on issue one, absolutely no. Eric Holder is behind this whole thing. And, you know, that tells you right there, that's all you need to know, right?
Evil does not take a vacation, right?
No, it doesn't. And so, anyhow.
Oh, I got two new headlines that are just make you feel good. Governor Newsom, today, October 1st, that's today, right, current news. Newsom outlaws voter ID rules in California. Subtitle, why would he ever do that? So they were getting ready to try and put through voter ID rules. He's outlawed it in California. The next new headline that just came up, the doctors from the wellness company, people we know well, port strike could delay delivery of critical medications. We may be facing the most significant medical crisis since COVID, and almost no one is talking about it. Yeah, see, that's one of the other things. Remember, we get, 80% of our medications from China and some of the others from other countries over. We get most of our medicines from somebody overseas. And now we're closing off the ports. Well, what they're going to have to do, we might be able to get the medications, but they're going to have to load them up on airplanes, fly them in. And what's that going to do to the cost of medications? If you think they're expensive, wait till they have to be flown in on jets, right? That'll what,
right.
double, triple their costs if we can get them here.
Yeah, and then what you'll be hearing, too, is that the medications can only be used on those with the best chances of survival.
Survival, and yada, 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 right?
Remember what Rahm Emanuel's brother said by 74, you're no more?
More, yeah.
You know, let's do away with the elderly first. Cuomo couldn't get them all, could he?
You know, he got cleared of all of that. They never got him for killing all those people.
How much do you think it cost him, or do you think it's just that he made a deal, he cut a deal? Look, you know, I'm not going down alone.
Right. Mostly it was a deal, and plus they had to cover up because he wasn't the only one that did some things like that. So they had to keep that can of worms buried. They didn't want the truth out on that.
Yeah. Kamala, Democrats sound the alarm in Michigan, warn Kamala is underwater in internal polling. You know, they can't keep hiding things, you know, across the board out there. They keep telling you, they're showing these fake polls that they're taking up on NBC, ABC, CBS, and even Fox News. See, a lot of people, on our side, the conservatives, they don't like a lot of these pollsters. They don't trust them when they come. And so when they ask them who they're voting for, they don't necessarily tell them because, you know, they don't know, too. I mean, today it's you don't know if you come out and you're a Trump supporter, you might have burn, loot, and murder, Black Lives Matter, or Antifa, or someone show up at your door. So they're not telling them, you know. And so we'll see what happens. But the common intelligence out there says Trump's pretty much ahead across the board by about 6 to 8 points.
I pray to God that we're right on that one, because if we're wrong this time, the consequence is going to be far more than this country. The price is going to be a lot higher than this country wants to pay.
Well, that's, you know, Joseph Stalin said it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes that matters.
Right.
Okay, and so, and that's still the same. You, the Democrats, like I said, where it comes to election fraud, to any kind of crime, any kind of underhandedness, every kind of sin, the Democrats out there, you know, they are to election fraud what Elvis was to rock and roll, okay? And, you know, that's what when it comes, you know, and it's an interesting thing. Well, they saw there's some election fraud with the Republicans. 99% of all election fraud is done by the Democrats. And so... here, in fact, here.
Right there should tell you something, right?
Yep.
I mean, you want to repeat that? I want people to hear what you just said. I'd like you to repeat that again.
Well, what I just said was they tell you out there, well, some of the Republicans, there's election fraud on their side, too, but 99% of it comes from the Democratic Communist Party.
Party, which should really explain and... I wish we had statistics. You know, some Republicans lie. All politicians probably tell some, but I'll bet that it's like 90, 95% of all the lies are on the Democrat side, maybe more.
Yep.
But at least, you know, 90% of the lies are from that side. And you start to see this balance. It should be a dire warning to all the people out there, all the listeners, that something is not right when you see the cheating on one side, the lines predominant on one side, the media covers, like tonight they shut off of Vance's mic once. They didn't fact check on a couple of things, that, you know, whether they knew or not, but I'm pretty sure they probably knew and didn't want to go there, so they just, you know, they let it go. The lies by omission. This country, the people better wake up, better start praying to the Lord to forgive them, and we need to start locally. You need to find close friends and family, because I think things are going to get bad you better have people around you that you can work with, trust, will help each other in times of trouble, because I believe that trouble is coming, and it's coming big time.
A landmark ruling, a federal judge in South Carolina has declared that voter rolls are public records. We've known that.
Yes,
and must be made available for inspection by election integrity advocates, a decision that could set a precedent nationwide. The leftists are shocked. The ruling issued by Judge Joseph Anderson, Jr. of the United States District Court in the District of South Carolina came in response to a lawsuit filed by the Public Interest Legal Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to election integrity. They sought to access to the California statewide voter registration list under the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, which mandates that states which maintain accurate voter rolls, and make records available for public inspection. But originally, the Secretary of State denied. They denied the request to make them. They didn't want people knowing.
Yeah, so, they didn't want people to know the truth. Gee, something really new, right?
Yep. There you go. I mean,
I was just thinking a few facts here. We got a couple of minutes.
Yep, you know, go ahead.
Been watching the past couple of months. Warren Buffett's vice chairman dumps about half of his Berkshire shares. Warren Buffett himself unloads almost $1 trillion of Bank of America shares. Berkshire quietly dumps half of its Apple shares in a selling spree. BlackRock reveals it's preparing for a $35 trillion Federal Reserve crisis. Bezos sells off $864 million of Amazon. The wealthy people are shifting their portfolios. They're putting money into cash, gold. Headlines, J.P. Morgan CEO hints at looming crisis worse than recession. Our interest went over $1 trillion. Household debt went over $17.8 trillion. Something is in the works, something big, and I think it's going to be happening one way or the other. I'm not even sure that Trump winning the election is going to keep some of this from happening. But some of the things that Kamala Harris, with this unrealized capital gains and some of these other things happen, it is not voting well. And I saw a graph, and the graph started in 1800. And from 1800 to 1980, the bottom line of the graph was almost flat, right around zero. And what it is debt in trillions of dollars. Well, after 2000, about 2010, it took 220 years for the U.S. to reach $11 trillion in debt. And most of that happened from 1990 to 2010. And since 2010, we've added another $11 trillion in debt. In 14 years, we've added $11 trillion in debt that took 220 years to get to the first $11 trillion. And if you look at that in the graph, it's a line that almost goes darn near straight up. And it's still climbing. And you look at a couple of things like that and you think, boy, that doesn't look good. I'm just thinking, as I look through this, some of the stories we've done, some of the graphs and charts, I think we're really, look, God's judgment is going to come, and I think there's going to be a couple of major surprises that people just are not going to believe are happening to us that are going to happen. And I suggest our listeners out there prepare, get rid of debt, prepare for some hard times, make friends, get your communities together to help each other, friends, family. just a warning, and all the preparation won't hurt if it doesn't happen, and if it happens, it's that preparation that can help save you.
Absolutely. And yeah, you definitely need to be prepared. We know that, well, we know what's coming because God's Word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. It makes it really clear for us. And we talked about the vote election fraud. Remember when GOP poll challengers were kicked out of the absentee ballot counting room in Detroit one day after the 2020 election? Can you guess which ballots they were counting? That's right. And so I'll do this article later. There's a lot to it. But we watched as they brought trucks and they kicked all the Republicans out. We watched them, you know, we watched them bring, when that, well, for the Detroit Police Department, that doesn't, it doesn't give them much, good, you know, credit.
And then they tell us there was no corruption in the election. And we saw some of it right on TV. We saw when they were putting the panels up over the windows, all the Republicans were kicked out and they were putting up panels so nobody could see what was going on inside. The only reason you do something like that is when you're cheating.
You had?
If you're not doing anything illegal, you don't put plywood over windows and lock yourself in a sealed, you know, voting count area.
They had a box truck right there. They opened the back of the truck, and on the boxes, with loaded from top to bottom, on these boxes it says Joe Biden, or it said Biden ballots. So these were all phony, fake Biden ballots that they were bringing in there. You know,
well, you're an election denier, according to the press. I mean, you're right up there with, you must even believe in Jesus Christ, and you must believe in, you know, being born again and all kinds of weird stuff, huh?
Yeah, I must. Speaking about that, you know, we believe in that for a very good reason. You know, we, first of all, those of us that can read and we understand history, we do a lot of research. And we realize that there's only one source of information, knowledge, that speaks with absolute authority, that can speak with absolute authority and power. And that source says of itself that heavens and earth will pass away someday, but it will never, never pass away. And that's the Word of God. And so we see over 6,000 years of history has time after time after time spoke out to verify God's word. In other words, the events that unfolded throughout history that were prophesied some as much as 4,000 years in advance, as much as 4,000 years in advance. You know, the coming of Jesus Christ and his death was spoken of 4,000 years before it happened. And so we see the accuracy of God's Word, the Bible. We see that it's got over 1,800 prophecies and that most all of them have been fulfilled. 580 in the New Testament and over 1,200 in the Old Testament, and they've been fulfilled. And we see right now what is taking place where the unsealing, the unsealing of the book that Daniel was instructed to seal up, we're seeing that taking place right in front of our eyes every day here now. But again, like you read earlier in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is referring to the biblical knowledge. And he tells them in Proverbs chapter 2 about this, the simple-minded. You simple-minded, you're not listening, right? A God gave us this King James Bible. It's a, well, it was given to us by God as a manual for life, isn't it? And it speaks with absolute and total authority.
It's kind of the owner, our owner's manual for care and feeding of Christians, isn't it?
It is, but it's also it's a warning to the world. It's telling you how, you know, the answers to all of life's problems are found in there. They're found right in there, in the Word of God. But people go everywhere except for where the answers are to be found. But it's a warning there, too. Now, do you know when this book will be read more than it's ever been read, Joe? It's during the tribulation period. When the tribulation period starts, and the saints are taken out, they're going to leave their Bibles behind. And guess what? A whole lot of those of the unsaved are going to say, hey, you know what? I remember them talking about this thing, about the Christians. They're all gone. Let me find that Bible. I want to see what's coming. And people will be scurrying looking for the King James Bible. But the Democrats will probably be trying to burn them all, huh?
I would think you're going to see a great book burning going on, and it'll probably be like China, where people took a Bible, tore it apart, and different people would have a different chapter, and they would pass them around and hide it, because you could hide a chapter much easier than a Bible. It's going to be probably a lot of time like that. There's going to be a lot of chasing down Christians trying to stop.
Yeah, but we're running out of time, so we got to tell the folks this, that folks here, not only are we running out of time in this program, but the earth is winding down. We're seeing it like it says in Romans 8. And the time will come. The time will come. Like I said to a man today, as I was talking to him, and I give him a track, and the time will come that what you're reading right there will be the only thing that matters to you. And that's a fact. It's going to happen. There's no chance it won't. And so the time will come when the only thing that'll matter is you're standing with the Lord. See, there's absolutes. You're either absolutely going to be saved or you're absolutely going to be lost. And it's not a tragedy to die, because it's going to happen to all of us. But to die apart from Christ, to die in your sin, well, it doesn't get any worse than that. And you see, Christ was the only absolute. He was the only absolute way to the Father. He said it. And so tonight's the night to call upon his name. We give you this every single night. Pray to the Father. Ask for repentance. Or repent. Ask for forgiveness. And then call upon the name of the Lord Jesus that you might be saved. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 3 and read it. Well, Joe, we're at that time where we say every night at this time, where we say good night.
Good night, all.
We say, well, thanks for being here and listening to us tonight. God bless.
God bless you.
And then we always say, and always, please, always, always,
always.
And we do mean always, don't we?
Yes.
You ready? Keep fighting. Ready?
Ready.
The fight. 2-1.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.